The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we get to sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players and related music industry experts. If you love playing guitar, stick around. You're in the right place. Hey, everybody. This is Craig Garber from Everyone Loves Guitar, and today we are showing much love to the rhythm section. We got Kip Allen with us. Kip's a touring and studio drummer and percussionist. Kip is currently touring with Devin Dawson and Paul Childers. He's 23 years old and spent most of his childhood in Aledo and Cooleyville, Texas. Did I pronounce that right? Cooleyville?
Colleyville.
Colleyville, yeah. I'll probably get trolled for that. Aledo and Colleyville. He moved to Nashville to go to Belmont University, where he studied commercial percussion with an emphasis in performance. He's played for Mitt Romney in Arizona to a crowd of 8,000 people, and he's appeared on Fox News, ABC News, and other late-night television shows, as well as playing for the Miss USA pageants. And he's a good-looking guy. So, man, when you were at Miss USA, did any hookups go on there?
No, none of that.
All right. And ladies, if you are listening, follow this guy. He's like probably one of the best looking young guys I've interviewed. If you look up Rockstar, this is your man, Kip Allen. In Nashville, he's recorded in well-known studios such as Ocean Way, RCA Studio B, County Q, Brown Owl, CLA Studios, and Catch This Music Studio. To date, he's played 200 shows all over the country, and he can be heard on numerous recordings of many different styles, including country, rock, folk, pop, metal, jazz, Latin, and Christian rock. And what was that? I heard you on that one video with that group. I think it was on your website. It was awesome.
Oh, Forest Fire Gospel Choir.
Oh, man, that was really good stuff.
That's good old rock and roll music.
Yeah,
right there.
That was awesome. Very good, man. So, man, thank you for coming on the show. We've been trying to get together for a while. We had a couple of – I forgot the first thing we had to reschedule, and then the hurricane.
Those hurricanes, man.
They tend to screw shit up.
They're doing a number.
Hey, man, so you're a busy young guy. What are you most excited about what you're working on now?
I would have to say I'm really excited about Devin Dawson, the guy I play for. His record's going to be coming out, I think, in January, but it's kind of weird. We recorded it over a year ago.
Oh, wow.
So it's finally starting to come out, and they've got three singles out, so you can kind of hear what's going on. But we're all really excited for the new record completely to be out so people can hear what we did.
So you were on the record as well as on the tour?
Yes.
That's interesting. So why does that, and I remember now when I interviewed Nick DeMaria, and you can go back, I don't know what episode it was off the top of my head, but Nick's the lead guitar player in the same band. Why does that not usually happen? Your group is very unique in that all the guys that are touring, or some of the guys that are touring, are also on the record. That's rare, isn't it?
Right. It's usually very rare to have that, but the producer, Jay Joyce, that we worked with, he likes to use bands to catch that, what do I like to say, band vibe.
Yeah.
In the studio. But then again, he also rips apart what you're doing and makes you clean it up. I mean, it's really cool. It's really different in how he does it versus most producers. Like, a lot of times they'll do 3 to 4 songs in a day and a couple hours, really. And we would do one song a day and really dive into each part and what we were doing, what we were playing, and it was a very eye-opening experience, but I think it was all really worth it, and I think Devin is really happy with the outcome, and so is management and the Warner and all those people. But
so yeah, that's great. So you're very lucky that on one of your early long-term tours you got a big label that an act that a big label's behind and willing to throw money at, where you could spend a day on each song in the studio.
Right.
So how are you going to go on and how are you going to work with somebody else now? You're like spoiled almost.
Yeah. They have absolutely spoiled us.
That's a good thing, man. You're from Aledo, right? Yeah. Aledo. Yeah. Where is that near?
Aledo is near like Fort Worth and Bedford area. So Fort Worth's like the main place that it's near. I would say it's like 20 minutes from Fort Worth.
Gotcha. Is it like a very rural or small?
Aledo, it's kind of.
Bedroom?
It's becoming a big town, but it's more of like small town, big town.
Bedroom community kind of Okay. Totally gotcha. What kind of
football program?
You hear that all over Texas, though, isn't it?
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah. It's an amazing football team.
What kind of childhood did you have growing up?
Growing up, it was honestly, I moved a lot. My parents, they moved me a lot. They're both worked for State Farm. So they were, I mean, I probably moved 7 or 8 times growing up. But finally, when we landed in Texas, I was in Aledo for, I don't know, 6, 7 years. And then we moved up to Colleyville, and I was there for the second half of my high school years. And yeah, it was all great, man. It was great childhood. We had a lot of fun, did a lot of stupid stuff, but I'm still here. I haven't been to jail yet. So
there you go. Any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I've got an older brother.
Is he into music also?
You know, he's not. He is actually in, he's in marketing. He's a really good salesman. And I used to remember he used to always sell me on stuff and like just basically convincing me to do stuff. And he was really good at it.
Yeah, older brothers have that talent.
Yeah.
So how did you get into drumming? Was any of your folks in music, or when did that start?
You know, my family really wasn't very musical. I know my mom and dad both played horn instruments in high school, but it wasn't like a big part of their life. Mm-hmm. But I just remember seeing some shows. I know like my first big concert was Green Day, and I loved it. It was like, oh my God. And then I remember seeing a band called Eli Young Band at Billy Bob's in Texas. And I just remember watching the drummer and really being like, I want to do that. Something about him really drew me in, and he was really nice to me and took the time to really talk to me and go through what I wanted out of life. But yeah.
How old were you when that happened?
I was probably 11 or 12.
Really? So like, how the hell did you get into Billy Bob's at 11 or 12? First of all, what's the drinking age in Texas? Wait a minute.
Well, I think that because my parents were with me that they let me in.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think that was the vibe of why they let me in.
Okay. Okay. And so you just like went over and started talking to the drummer in this Eli Young Band.
Yeah, he was really cool. And this is back when they had that, I don't even remember the album name, but I think it was an Orange cover or something. And they were super new, but they were first time playing the main stage, I think. And
right.
They were super stoked and they wanted to come talk to everyone. And funny enough, last summer I opened for them.
Really?
It was the first time I'd opened for them. And I went up to the drummer and he kind of looked at me sideways and I just told him the story. And he was like, I thought I remembered you. Like, it was just super cool to like have that interaction of just like, remember like 10 years ago when I saw you? And he's like, I don't really remember, but I feel like I do remember talking to a kid that night.
Well, that must have been a kind of a special moment for you, though.
It really was.
Yeah, and I could see
that. He was super complimentary in my playing, and that just made my whole day.
Wow, that's a great story, man. That's a really good story. Yeah.
Nice full circle.
Right there. Totally. That's a really good story, man. So you've got a steady gig with Devin, and it's supported, and I know that, you know, he's doing really well. At the same time, you're in the early stage of your career, and I know you still probably got to hustle and make sure that you got plan B, C, and D available. And I've seen, yeah, I've gone through your webpage. I know you got a really good work ethic. What are you actually doing? Are there actual steps that you do to deliberately either create activity or make some kind of a buzz for yourself so that, you know, people are aware of your presence, that, you know, even if something happened, that, you know, they're aware of you and, you know, you'd want to, you'd be in a position where you'd like to think you get called.
Right. So I would say my main thing is Instagram. Instagram is a very important tool for me, and I post a lot of videos and post a lot of pictures of like when I'm on the road and when I'm not on the road, because that's an easy way for someone to see like, okay, he's not on the road right now because he's posting videos from his house.
Right.
Or there's also my website where I have all my tour dates posted, and I'm usually really good about keeping those updated.
Yeah, you are, so, man. That's...
If someone looks at those and they go, I wonder if he's available, they can check that and figure out pretty quick if I'm going to be available or not. Also, just for like staying, like keeping people interested, it's mostly videos
and
stuff like that kind of let them know, like, and I also just word of mouth. I let my friends know, like, hey, like, I'm in town for 2 weeks. You guys need any drums cut or anything, hit me up.
Yeah. Okay. So you have a list of guys that would be able to refer you out or use you on their stuff, and you're constantly okay. Have you gotten calls from that, from your Instagram or from?
Actually, yeah, quite a few.
You have. Okay.
It's really funny to hear who sees my stuff, because a lot of times they'll either start liking it, you just see it, or they'll shoot you a message and it's like, holy crap, like how did you find
this
me?
This works.
Yeah, like, oh, this actually works.
Well, that's great, man.
It's really funny to see it happen.
No, but it sounds like you're making a concerted effort on a regular basis to, you know, it's like anything else. It's like drumming or, you know, going to the gym. If you're doing something consistently, you're much more likely to see, payoff than, you know, you're not dropping in a video, you know, every 30 days on there. It sounds like you're pretty diligent with that.
Yeah.
For someone starting out and who hasn't had the opportunity to play with some of the people you have, what advice would you give them as far as what to do and maybe even more important, what not to do?
Man, I'll go back to the just social media in general. I think social media is such an important part of a musician's life in this day and age. I think having a strong Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and a website, just all of that together really kind of pulls like a package together. So if anyone, they can find you in multiple facets of internet world, but so many people are so glued to their phones these days that it's like, how can I get to them? Well, it's like, well, they're going to be on their phone pretty much at least a couple hours of the day. So if I can somehow scroll across their feed and they'll start seeing me consistently and they'll start thinking about you. And I don't know. That would be like a good like start, I would say.
Sure.
But, and that's a way that you don't have to even really, I don't even know how to say it. You don't have to like talk to people necessarily. Like you do have to talk to people, but that's something you can do in your bedroom or behind your drum set with like an iPhone camera. Like it doesn't have to be anything crazy.
Sure.
You don't have to have this amazing recording rig to start.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, for other things, just I would say get out, go see shows, go meet people, go put it out there that you're interested in being more than just a bedroom musician. And people will start to listen and they'll start calling you for stuff if you really put it out there.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think getting out and actually doing that and talking to people is very important. And it's not, and I think because everybody grows up in a phone, it's kind of harder to do nowadays. People aren't used to, like older guys like me are totally used to that because we know, you know, we didn't grow up with it. And I think it's harder when you're like, my older kids, 27, 20, especially my 27-year-old, my youngest is 17, so it's 10 years apart. And he always says, I'm glad I didn't grow up in her age, and you're probably somewhere in the middle of that, I would imagine.
Right.
Yeah, and he always says, I'm glad I didn't grow up in her age because I at least got to some social skills, got to talk to people, and I didn't rely exclusively on the phone.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's something that's overlooked is talking to people. I think that's a good point what you made.
Right.
What do you want to be doing, like, either 3 to 5 years or even if you have a longer-term vision, or have you even thought about that stuff yet?
You know, I think it's always in the back of my mind, but I'm very much so like the week of. What's my life this week?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get it done. But I mean, I definitely do think about long term, and I'm trying to set myself up for success in multiple ways. But it's really just like going and I'm trying to think of like a better way to put this.
Like, do you see yourself touring long term, or is there something, another aspect, do you want to get it more into production or studio or?
So I would say right now I've been working on just obviously touring a lot, getting my touring rig ready and able to do a lot of different things. But yeah, I definitely think long term touring for now, at least for the next 5 to 10 years, is definitely something I want to be very heavily involved with. I love being on the road. I love being in vans and planes and buses. Like I get high off being on the road. Like it's so much fun. And I also love coming home. It's like the back and forth. But when I'm home, I'm working on production and studio, and I'm back in my drum room recording drums all the time, trying to get the best sound I can and trying to make my playing right. So then hopefully I can do sessions while I'm at home. But eventually who knows, maybe teeter off and just do sessions or only do road dates every now and then. Or it just really depends on the artist, like what happens in the next 5 to 10 years. Like it really just depends on where I end up, I think. Is it's also kind of why I live a week at a time.
Yeah,
even a month at a time. Is you don't really know what's going to happen next.
No, and especially in your industry, it's really it's changing so quickly all the time.
Exactly.
So you have to adapt. It's funny. I think if I remember correctly, when I spoke to Nick, it's funny that you said you love the traveling and everything. I think that was one of the things. I think he said, "I hate the travel." He was I thought so. I was like, "Wow, that's interesting." Because he was like, but I think he's a few years older than you too.
Nope, he's the same age.
Really?
Yep, he's
okay.
The same age.
Okay, interesting.
Nick is definitely more of, he likes to be at home.
Yeah,
I like to be at home too, but I also love being on the road.
Man, different strokes, you know.
Exactly.
Some like vanilla. No, man. Some people like chocolate. Some people like vanilla. It's the same thing.
It's
funny. I distinctly remember Nick saying that. I think I asked him, I said, "What do you dislike about what you do the most?" And he goes, "The traveling." But that's what like 90% of the musicians I interview. So I don't even ask that question anymore because I know that's going to be the answer.
Right.
But I'll ask it to you, actually, because I want it, because it's not going to be your answer. So. Are you, I think I know the answers. Are you outgoing or shy by nature?
Outgoing.
Yeah. I thought you seem really comfortable. That's great. You're a very versatile drummer and you know, I've heard you playing in loads of different styles, and I've looked at who you've played with and it's loads of different styles. Is there a certain music though you like playing best? Like if you had a band, what would that band play?
Honestly, I think if I was like the Kip Allen band or whatever, it would be so all over the place. And I think that's what would make it kind of like fun in its own nature. Everything would have to have a good groove. It could be anything. It could be R&B, slow backbeat, 6/8, Latin. It could be anything. But as long as it grooved, I would be super happy.
So you genuinely like all kinds of music. It's not, there's no, yeah, that's good. That's really good.
It's funny. I was in my room 2 days ago blaring Cuban music. And my roommates walked by like, "What in the heck are you listening to?" I was like, "Cuban, baby. Like, I don't care. Like, it's music. It grooves." And I was just learning about Cuban music. I was like, I haven't really listened to a lot of it. But one of my friends was like, "You got to listen to this Cuban record." And I was like, "Okay."
Yeah, it does groove Cuban music. It's like Afrocentric sort of stuff. It really exactly. does. Yeah, very much grooves, man. If you weren't doing what you're doing now, Kip, what do you think you'd be doing?
Honestly, I still think I'd be in music somehow. I don't fully know, because I've never really had to think about it, just because I've been so fortunate to be with artists like Paul and with Devin that have really taken me under their wing at a very early age. But I've always been interested in like the business side as well, but not as interested as like actually being a musician.
Sure.
But I think if I wasn't able to drum, I would go straight into somewhere in business with music.
Like what?
I'm trying to think. This is something I've never really thought about. This is just funny.
Yeah, I'm curious what careers would you what's out there? I don't even know, because like I hear people. I think somebody once told me they'd become a lawyer and get into artist management.
See, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be really cool. I mean, it'd be tough. Artist management is a very hard job, and it's also hard to break into. But I don't think I would go for that. I think I would be more on like the A&R side of a record company. Like that's what I would want to be involved with, because it's got almost a creative side to it.
So scouting out and finding new acts.
Yeah. I've got a couple A&R buddies that I know, and just through like bands that they've actually been coming to scout that I've played for.
Right.
And they're super nice to me, but like they kind of ran me through their schedules one day, and it was just like, they go to like 6 shows every couple of days, and they're just constantly trying to find bands that they might be interested in. And I don't know, I love going to shows and I love seeing music, and they're still very enveloped in the music side of it without being a musician.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, it totally makes sense. Yeah. That's gotta be a tough job too, because you only have so much resources and you got to figure out who do you allocate the resources to? And
right.
you have to, I would imagine, a lot of this is your ability to look into the future.
Exactly. You have to see 10 years to 20 years in the future, not a year in the future.
Yeah, like what's going to be popular? Are these guys going to sound like, and what are these right. guys going to sound like in 5 years when they evolve?
Or are we going to be able to evolve them at all?
Yeah.
Are they in what they're doing, and are they going to be moldable to what we want? Do they want to mold? Do we need them to mold? Like,
yeah,
it's all a game, really. But I kind of like the unsureness of like if they'll have a job tomorrow. It's like they might get fired because they picked the wrong band and put too much money into one, and the company's like, sorry,
right?
Bye.
So you sound like you're definitely a risk taker then.
You know, it's funny because I'm not.
Wait a minute. You just said you like the uncertainty of whether or not you might have a job tomorrow.
Of that job. I like the uncertainty of like picking a band and not knowing if it's going to work.
Okay. Okay.
I think I might have misspoken, but like I love okay. that. No, but when it comes to risk taking in my life, I probably not.
Probably not. Enough. Okay. Okay.
Although I've taken a pretty big risk at being just a musician.
Yeah, no, totally. 100%. Yeah, there's got to. But what drives that is there's so much passion behind that risk right. probably never enters the equation.
Right.
You know, because like when I was a kid, I was very active in music, but I played the wrong instrument. So I could have gone to music and art high school and stuff, but I didn't go. It was just the wrong instrument, but I knew I had the passion for it. I just wasn't the right instrument. So I didn't fulfill it. Had I had it, there wouldn't have been no consideration of risk. If I had the right instrument at the time, you know, it would have been like, okay, I'm doing this. So I totally get it.
Right. It's
exactly what drove you to there. Do you have any hobbies or interests outside of music?
I actually have recently gotten into photography.
Oh, that's great, man.
I like photography. It's still kind of like an art side of my brain.
Totally.
I've been called more of an artsy person. So I don't know. Someone said I had a good eye for it, and I got a pretty decent camera, and I've been taking pictures, and people like it. So I still do it on the side.
Yeah, I love street photography, man. That's what my favorite is. You know, I like taking, like when I go up to New York, I'll get up early in the morning and just take my camera and just, you know, there's so much this. Or even when I was in Nashville, I took a bunch of pictures. It was cool.
Good. That's awesome. I mean, why not? It's like with these digital cameras, you can just snap away and delete away.
I like photography too. It's a very relaxing hobby.
It is. I think that's what drew me towards it, is because I don't have to really think when I do it.
No, and it's not, you don't have to learn 100% of it. It's like learning Microsoft Word. You don't have to learn 100% of it. You learn 20% of it, you're good to go.
Right.
You know? What's the favorite place you've traveled so far?
With like a band or just in general?
No, you tell me, just in general.
In general, I'd have to say Africa.
Wow, when did you go to Africa?
When I was about 13, I want to say. It's been a minute, so age kind of flew away from me. But I think it was around 13, but we went to South Africa and Zimbabwe.
Wow. And
but it's my family. It's a family trip, and they'd always wanted to go, and I was kind of like, "Yeah, sure, let's do it."
Wow!
It was very cool to see a completely different culture that is on the same planet. I mean, it's kind of weird. We get so enveloped and we get so in this bubble of America that we don't really realize what's going on outside. And I mean, just some of the places we went, they're so far behind and so technologically unaware.
So give me a couple of examples of that. That sounds
interesting. People are going to villages that were still living in mud huts and hunting their food and didn't have clean drinking water. Like it was really, really interesting and crazy to see. Like I remember we had this big bag of candy that we brought with us, and because they told us, our guide was like, "Hey, go buy a big bag of just cheap candy, could be Tootsie Rolls, whatever, and bring it to these villages and they will lose their minds." And they did. We literally like get out of the car and like come up with this big bag of candy, and within 5 seconds we'd have 100 little kids around us just like begging us for candy. And wow. It was just like, what? I mean, to me, I'm like, I could just go to 7-Eleven and buy a whatever, a Reese's bar and be happy. To them, it's like they've never really seen, they're not like able to get stuff like that.
Yeah, so, that's wow. Were you able to interact with anybody, or the language prohibited it?
In certain places, yeah. In South Africa, it's mostly English. Hmm. But in some of the villages, we weren't, like, some places we couldn't understand people, and they couldn't understand us. So it was kind of like, ah, but we had guides that could.
Was there any threat of safety or?
Yes, but not with the people, really. The people were generally pretty nice. But I remember getting to the airport in Zimbabwe, and it was the first time I had ever seen people walking around with AK-47s.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's weird. But they weren't, like, threatening.
Sure.
They were like, hey, we're here. We have guns. And I was kind of like, cool, I'm not going to bother you.
It's like that in England, too. I mean, all over Europe, I would imagine.
Right. Yeah. But the other safety issue was the animals. So we were in – so we went hunting. I don't know how you feel about that, but
– I'm not an anti-hunting person.
Right. So yeah. And we did some hunting while we were there, and I mean, we got all the correct permits and everything to do it, so it wasn't anything illegal. But we were hunting. I was actually the one hunting that day because we, like, had animals that we would go specifically hunt in certain places. We were in a mud hut. Just literally like a mound of mud and sticks. Mm. And inside they had little windows, and it was by a watering hole, and we were waiting to find the animal that we wanted. And all of a sudden we start to see the grass, like the dust and stuff starts to, like, fall on us. And we're like, what the heck? And come to know it, there's four rhinos that had just rolled up behind us.
Holy crap.
And our guide is like, well, we're screwed. If they decide to charge us, we're done. Like, he was like, there's nothing we can do. He's like, none of our guns are powerful enough to kill any of them, and they're quicker than you.
Holy shit.
Good luck. So we ended up just sitting there, and there were two. So it was a brother, or like a brother and a dad, we think, and then a mom and a kid. So the mom and the kid came down by the watering hole, and the kid got spooked and ran off, and it made them all run off. But
wow.
If they wouldn't have gotten spooked and figured out we were there, it would have not been pretty.
Man, did they have a bathroom in that mud hut? Because I would have needed one.
My brother and I both had our heads between our legs, just like, please don't kill us. Please don't kill us.
Oh, my. Wow.
So it was a life-changing experience for sure.
Yeah, that is pretty intense. Yeah, I don't have a problem with hunting. I don't think it's cool as when people hunt in these. And I don't know if yours was or not, and it's none of my business. But if you have like a caged environment, like not in their net,
yeah,
that's not hunting. That's like, you know, fish in a bowl kind of thing.
Literally, it's like stocking a pond full of running bass, and then
yeah, right. That's, I don't think it's cool. So let me ask you now the same question I asked Nate. What's a favorite part of your job and the least favorite part of your job?
Favorite part is the playing, obviously. Sure. It's stepping on stage in front of people and seeing people enjoy it and seeing like my buddies enjoy playing. And it's just that feeling of, I don't know. We have that feeling of like brotherhood while we're on stage. And it's unreal, really. I can't even explain it, but I don't know. That's the favorite part.
How does it feel different when you first step on stage and then when you leave the stage? What's the difference? I would assume the energy is much higher at that point when you're stepping on.
Right.
Than when you're stepping off.
Stepping on is like that, I guess, that nerve of just like, okay, like, are people going to like us? Is it going to be a good show? Is the sound going to be good? Like, is my monitor changed? Like, it's kind of little things like that going through my head. And then as soon as we hit the first song and everything feels good, I just go into like almost tunnel vision. And a lot of times I don't even see the crowd.
Interesting.
I almost like blinders kind of come up in my eyes. And I really just like feel the band. And yeah. I'm just focused on what I'm doing and making everything feel good and really just getting in the zone with all the other guys and making it the best show for someone to be watching. But as soon as we step off stage, It's usually like, holy crap, we got to get my crap off stage. Like, let's go.
So it's all business at that point.
Yeah, it's business. It's like, okay, we're done with the music. Like, let's get the stuff off stage. And it's always really funny because we're really good about, like, especially when we're opening, we run everything off stage really fast. We pack it up really fast. We get it in the bus. And then all of a sudden I take a breath and I go, cool, we're good.
So it's not like, in the movies you see the guys getting off stage and they're going back to the rooms and, you know, sitting there having a drink.
It's like that. Yeah. Yeah. When you're a bigger artist, and you're the headliner maybe, and you have crew,
yeah,
it's easier because you just, then the group, the band and the artist step off stage and it's like, cool, whatever. Like,
and someone else is doing all that.
Yeah. Someone else is taking care of that part.
Yeah. But I get it.
While we're growing and being openers and kind of grinding, that's just what it takes. And
yeah,
I love it. I think it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. What's the least favorite part of what you're doing?
I would say waiting around. There's a lot of hurry up and waiting when you're at these gigs because you might get there earlier. Soundcheck might be at 12 and you don't play till 7. So from 12 to 7, they're just kind of like, bye, go do whatever you want. And it's like, if you're in a cool city, that can be really fun. But a lot of times it's just kind of like, well, we're just going to sit on the couch and stare at a wall or just listen to music games, or you know what I mean?
Sure.
I think that would be the least favorite part just because it's not as, I don't know, maybe around the music. But I would say, especially with Nick and I and Sam, our bass player, we all are really big into production.
Yeah.
So we all now sit around on our laptops and we'll make music. So that's actually a good excuse to like have some time to make some music while we're on the road. But I would say the waiting, I would say, is the least favorite.
Hurry up and wait. Yeah. It's funny because I spoke to a guitar player one time and he was on tour, maybe in Syracuse, New York or something. And I said, look, I really appreciate your time. I know you're away. He goes, no, no, no. He goes, I really appreciate your time because exactly what you said, because I have 7 hours of nothing to do. You just took away one of it. Thank you so much. So I feel you on that one, man. Who's had the biggest influence on your life?
I mean, this is going to be kind of a stock answer, I think, but I mean, it's absolutely true. It's my parents.
That's great.
And they've really pushed me to do what I want to do. And at first it wasn't music. It was, I mean, I don't even remember as a kid what I really wanted, but I remember when I first told them I wanted to be an astronaut, they were like, good, go for it. Do it.
We're putting you in astronaut school.
Yeah. They were so supportive. They were like,
that's awesome.
What do you want to do to start? Like whatever you want. And eventually it was funny. I picked up a guitar first.
I see one in your room over there.
I've actually got three. Yeah.
Nice.
My little Pelly right here. Oh yeah.
There you go. I like that. Is that eggshell blue kind of?
Yeah.
Pastel blues?
I think it's called Daphne blue.
Daphne blue. Right. Yeah, I like that color.
It's the Highway 1 Fender.
I like that color.
It's like the nitro finish. It's pretty cool.
I like that.
But yeah, so I picked up a guitar first and I just remember going over to my friend's house and he had a drum set and I was like, let me try. I want to play your drum set for a minute. So I played his drum set and he played my guitar and hilariously enough, he still plays guitar to this day and I picked up drums.
Holy crap. Isn't it funny? I love hearing those stories because it's little serendipity like that, right, that often changes your life in the most profound ways and you could never connect those dots moving forward. It's only, you know,
it's such a small detail that created such a big impact.
Yeah. If you didn't go to this house that day, if you went the day after, whatever.
We might not even touch instruments. Right. I still be playing guitar today.
Right. Or you might
not have music at all. Who knows? It's crazy.
Yeah. I like that.
I just remember coming home that day and I told my parents, I was like, I think I want a drum set. And they were like, we just bought you a guitar. And I'm like, I know, I screwed up. I needed a drum set. And they were like, okay.
Wow, that's so awesome.
Rich. And they went and got me a nice cheap old drum set. And I beat the hell out of it for a couple of years. And eventually I upgraded a little more and just kind of upgraded and upgraded. And eventually they were like, okay, he's pretty serious about this. And ended up going to high school, playing drumline and getting all sorts of drum lessons. But hilariously enough, I never took a drum set lesson until I got to college.
Really?
Yeah. It was really weird. Drum set was self-taught. But like growing up, we would do a lot of classical. A lot of just snare drum on pad and bell kits when I was in like fifth and sixth grade. Then eventually we go up to like marimbas and things like that. But Yeah, it was really weird. I think I may have taken one drum set lesson in high school, but it wasn't anything groundbreaking that I didn't already know. But
so you learned just mostly from just playing and watching videos, maybe on YouTube or whatever?
Yeah. Honestly, playing, listening to music, watching people play on YouTube, of course.
Yeah.
But
it's really nothing you can't do today that's like, you know, you can do anything, be self-taught and do anything today because of YouTube, I think.
Literally
anything. I mean, if you want to change a motor on your car, it's fine.
It's all there. Yeah. Any car you want, it's there.
So, which is awesome. Two more questions. What's the most important lesson that your business has taught you so far?
Most important, honestly, I would say the business, it's not all about the music, I think is what it's really taught me. And it's kind of a weird thing to say. I know that's maybe sounds like a bad thing, but it's not a bad thing at all. It's really taught me that music is not all about music. There has to be a business side. The two have to intermingle for them both to work. And there's so much more to just being a musician or an artist that a lot of people don't realize, and that's the business. And I think growing up as like a drummer, I was like, I just want to be a drummer, I just want to do this and blah blah blah. But I think I didn't realize how much more there was to being even just a drummer. You have to market yourself, you have to have a website, you have to whatever, have an Instagram, post videos, go out, like talk to people. There's so much more than just being like, I'm a drummer, hire me.
Yeah.
Because it's not how it works. It's not at all how it works. But
you know who's a pretty good guy at that? I don't know if you know Kyle May.
Oh, yeah. I went to school with Kyle.
Yeah. He's a little older than you, though, no?
Yeah, he's 2 years older than me.
Okay, yeah. I figure 2 or 3 years. Yeah, he's really – he has the same sense of awareness, and he's really good at keeping things out there. And
you know, I picked up a lot of my techniques, I guess, from him, from watching him through college, because I was always super, like, I looked up to him through college, and I still do.
Yeah.
I actually met him in the parking lot the other day at a Kroger, a grocery store.
Yeah, I know Kroger's.
We're so excited to see each other because we hadn't seen each other since college. But he's like, I live down the road from you. Like, stop being a stranger. And I'm like, my bad.
He's a really good guy. Yeah, he's a really good guy. And he's
he actually just picked up the Billy Ray Cyrus gig.
Yes, he does. Yeah, yeah. And I interviewed him just after he had picked that up. So he was really feeling good. Yeah.
Pretty recently, yeah.
Yeah. Good. Very nice guy. He's a very smart guy too, as far as, you know, the same thing. I think that was Kyle's identical answer, is that it's not all about the business. It's not all about the music.
So, it doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah. Him and I've talked quite a bit about that.
Yeah. And he's pretty aware of that. Maybe painfully aware of it to some extent.
Yeah. I would say it's probably much more of an intellectual answer than I was. I'm just like, he's a very smart and intellectually thinking person.
Yeah, he's super intense. He's super intense. Yeah.
Intense is a good word for him.
Yeah, we got along real well. He's good.
Good.
Hey, last question. This is a tough question, really tough. What's your definition of happiness?
Honestly, I would just say being able to do what I love while still making a living doing it. And I know money isn't everything, but it's a lot.
Gives you options.
Exactly. It keeps me from stressing out at the end of the day, just being like, okay, cool, I'm not doing terrible.
Yeah,
I'm broke. I don't have to be a millionaire. I don't really care about that. That's not what it's about to me. But I definitely have to be making a good living to support a family and to just be around. And honestly, I have a gear habit. I like gear, so I have to make money to buy that gear.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
it's not in the gear tree behind your house, right?
I wish. Gear tree right now.
Hey man, I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate your time. Thanks for this interview. I really appreciate hanging in there and being patient and working out your schedule so we could do this. Is there anything, let's promote all your accounts, man, your social media accounts and what you're doing.
Oh yeah. So Instagram would be Kipling Allen, just one word. But if you type in Kip Allen, you'll find my photo page, but also you should find my drum page as well. I've got two Instagrams, but That's follow the drum page, follow the photo page, whichever one you like.
And that's A-L-L-E-N, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And great. Kipling is K-I-P-L-I-N-G.
Great.
But that's Instagram, and then Facebook is just Kip Allen Drums. Twitter is Kip Allen Drums. And then my website's just kipallen.com. Just check them out and send me a message. Say hi. Follow me. Do whatever. I love to talk. I always respond as quick as I can. So,
do you do any lessons at all? Skype lessons or something?
Yeah, absolutely do.
Great. Great.
I can do Skype if you're in Nashville, or if I'm touring through your city, just hit me up. If you just want to get a beer, or get a drink, I'm all game for it. If you want a lesson, yeah, just hit me up. And I mean, honestly, hit me up anywhere, any of those accounts, I'll find it and we'll set it up. We'll make it happen.
Awesome, man. Hey, again, thank you very much, Kip. I appreciate this. Everybody, I want to thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. Thanks so much to Kip Allen for spending time with us. Oh, and also, I'd love to have you back in like a year or two, because I think your career is going to do great, and I'd love to see you. I'd love to see what's going to happen. So hopefully you're open to doing that. Awesome,
man. Absolutely. Love to be back.
Awesome, man. Hey, everybody, go to Everyone Loves Guitar. Sign up to get notified about future episodes of podcasts, along with some other cool new stuff we'll be doing for guitar players. Be nice. Go play your guitar. And have some fun. Until next time, I'm out. Peace, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, subscribe to the Everyone Loves Guitar podcast, and you can do this online at everyonelovesguitar.com or on iTunes. And if you like the show, please leave us a 5-star positive review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher our show ranks, and higher rankings mean we get to continue speaking with cool, interesting guests on our show. We'll see you on the next episode, and until then, keep playing your guitar and have fun making music.